out there. I typically don't have a problem being heard. Mics are not always necessary. We are honored to be here with you this morning. I can't believe all the many years ago that Pastors Marvin and Patty launched, and to see the campus now and to see the church family, beautiful campus, beautiful people, and excited to see what God's doing down here in Tyler, Texas. And so we are thrilled to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Marvin and Miss Patty. They've been wonderful hosts, and dinner was great last night. Gift bags that will take us. We'll have to take them back to our kids to have us to help us take care of those things. But I just wanted to encourage you this morning with something that that I continue to grow in. The older I get, I'm not as young as I was when Pastor Marvin and Patty started the church, but I'm not too old now. But I'm still growing. I am recognizing the older that I get, the more that I need to know, the more that I need to learn, the more that I need to work on. And I'm a football guy. I love football. I'm sorry I don't cheer for any of the teams in Texas, not the University of Texas, not Texas A&M. I don't know who, but I'm a Colorado kid. I grew up in the state of Colorado, and so growing up, my team, the University of Colorado, had a pretty good football program. It's since changed quite a lot, and we hope that they come back one of these days. But anyway, in the 90s, they were in the top 10 most of the time, and we had a red-letter game on our schedule. That was the University of Nebraska. It was always typically somewhere between 1 and 5, and it was a big one. But both of those teams, and I would have to give more credit to Nebraska, Dr. Tom Osborne, Coach Osborne at the time, coached his teams in all the fundamentals of the game, tackling and blocking, and that's why year in and year out they would be in that top three, typically one or two. And so as we tackle this topic this morning, I just want to encourage you in one of the fundamentals of one of the fundamental doctrines of the church, and that's understanding how much God loves us. No matter if this is your first time to Church on the Move or maybe first time in church, God loved you so much that he gave Jesus to die in your place and my place so that we would have an opportunity to choose and to believe and to become a part of the family of God and to accept the sacrifice that was made for us. But on the same front, for those of you that may be in church for a long time, Church on the Move, in the Church Universal, someplace else here in Texas, or we met an Okie this morning, somebody that moved down in the last 3 years. There she is. And so, listen, we come from all kinds of different places. As a seasoned believer, as somebody that's known Jesus for a while, we can't ever neglect to understand and to get a fresh revelation of how much he loves us, because it's his love for us that motivates us and empowers us and energizes us to become more like him, to be who he's called us to be, to go where he's called us to go and to do what he's called us to do. It's not about a performance of yours or of mine that pleases him. It's about us surrendering and accepting what he did for us. Amen. And so this morning, we're just going to talk about the uncommon love of God. It's an uncommon love. And so if you turn in your Bibles, it's a familiar story, but we're going to read it this morning. And we're going to read it out of the Passion Translation. So it's in Luke chapter 15. It's verse 11 through 32. Pastor Marvin's got this wonderful technology here, but I'm going to stick to my old faithful, look at it right in front of me, even though it's right there on that TV. And so let's just look at this parable. So we're going to read through it, and then I want to pull out several points and encourage us this morning. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them, let me get over to the right translation. I like the Passion Translation. No, we'll read it out of this, and I'll make my points out of the Passion. So, let me get back. Here we go. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He divided unto them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent them into his fields to feed swine. How many of you know the Jews in that day, they loved pigs? Not so much. We were in children's church last week. We were talking about this story. It was 2 weeks ago, and we were in our little small group discussions talking about the son that was out in the fields with the swine tempted to eat the swine's food. Once again, the Jews weren't big on swine, but this little guy had the great perception to say, listen, if he'd known about bacon, he would have been set. Could have gotten out of the pig pen, but we thought it was a funny observation from an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. And so the boy's out there, I'm no more worthy to be called, or let's see. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, sent him into the fields to feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and the man gave unto him. He was in a bad place. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet far off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring that fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And as they began to be merry, now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the hired servants and inquired, what are these things? What's this noise that I hear? And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, and I've never transgressed a commandment of thine, and yet thou have never given me a kid, a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came home, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, that killest for him the fatted calf, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen. So it's a powerful story, but I want to pull out several just nuggets out of this to encourage you, stir myself concerning God's love for you, God's love for us. The younger son, in verse 12 in the Passion Translation, it says, the younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me? And it says, so the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. So it wasn't just the younger son that received the inheritance. The older son had it, right? And so he was just and gave to both. But if you look at verse 17, so the younger son took his inheritance. He decided, I'm running. I'm going to go spend it. I'm going to go have a good time. I'm going to do what feels good. I'm going to eat what tastes good. I'm going to drink what, I'm going to do what everybody's doing. And so he took off. But in verse 17, it says this, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, do you know, sometimes we need to come to our senses. And this here is talking about the younger son, but it could be said of the older brother that was back home. The older brother needs to come to his senses to understand that God divided the inheritance between the two of them. Didn't give more to the younger. The younger made an unwise choice and ran away. But listen, if the older son, faithfully working in the fields, faithfully doing what his dad wanted him to do, wanted to have a party, his dad basically told him at the end of the parable, son, you're with me always. If you wanted something, you could have come and asked me. We would have had a party. But listen, my younger son was lost, but now he's found. But listen, I want to encourage you and encourage us this morning. Sometimes we just have to come to our senses and to remember and to stir ourselves concerning the uncommon love of God. He doesn't care what happened yesterday. He doesn't care what happened last week. He doesn't care how you missed it last month. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when the devil tries to bring shame and he tries to bring guilt in the wake of you missing it, of me missing it, of us going where we shouldn't have gone, doing what we shouldn't have done, listen, we need to run back to the Father. We need to come to our senses and remember that he loves us, that he's for us, and that we're not done yet. He's still working on us. I don't know about you. He's still working on me. Amen? But his uncommon love is this. It's not something that we earned. We're going to get to it here a little bit later, but the Bible says while we were still dead in our sins, he sent Jesus to die in our place. We didn't earn it. We haven't earned this uncommon love. It's a love that's freely given. It's unconditional. It's not something that we can understand with our heads. But thank God, every day, every week, every month, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we can grasp and understand more and more how good God is and how great his love is for us. And it's that love for us, that love that's in us, that helps us to be more like Jesus. Amen? And so it's good for us to come to, when we come to ourselves, when we kind of recognize, okay, I've got to revisit some things. Am I falling apart here? Thank you, Pastor Marvin.
Still hear
you. Yeah, we're pretty loud. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Marvin. Knocking my mic off.
That's okay.
All right. So let's look at verse 20. And he arose, so he was out in the fields, he decides, I'm going to go home. So he arose, and he came to his father, but the Bible says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I want to encourage you this morning that no matter where you've been, that no matter what's happened, no matter good decisions, bad decisions, that God is always looking for you and I from a great way off. You know, he loved his sons, and he loves us. He loved us so much that he gave us the ability to choose. We can choose to do right. We can choose to do what's wrong. We can choose to enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life. Or we can choose to understand how much he loves us and to grow in that relationship with him. But regardless, whatever choice we make, he's always watching for us. He's always got his eye on us. We'll look at another scripture here in a minute. But, you know, another thing is this. When his father let him go or divided the inheritance and the younger son left, dad didn't chase the younger son. Dad let him go. You know what? God's a gentleman that way, and he's going to let you go. He's going to let your son or your daughter go. He'll let them go and make the decisions they choose to make. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love them. It doesn't mean that maybe what happens when we make wrong choices was his will, or now that's punishment for whatever. There are consequences to the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But thank God he's redeemed us from that, and he can help us to get out of messes that we find ourselves in. But God is always looking from a great far way off. Sometimes it might seem he's looking. And as soon as you or as soon as I decide that we're going to return to him, we come to ourselves. As soon as we turn back to him, the father, the Bible says, ran to his son, put his arms around him, kissed him tenderly in the Passion Translation. God's love for us is unconditional. It's tender. As soon as we turn to him, he will run to right where we're at. He'll meet us. He'll help us. And he'll take us back in. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for God's love. And it's something that it's one of the fundamentals that we need to just get a firm hold of and to constantly stir ourselves with. And so God ran. Over in 2 Chronicles 16:9, I didn't give this one to Pastor Marvin, but as I was praying and processing last night and preparing for this morning, it says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So he's a far way off. He sees all. He knows all. But the Bible says his eyes are searching to and fro over the whole earth for those whose hearts are open to him. So as when we come to ourselves and when we look to the Father, and man, he's looking. He's waiting, and he'll meet us right where we're at. And he'll help us out of whatever mess we might have created for ourselves or wherever we find ourselves, and he'll help us back up into a high and a safe place. Amen. Glory to God. In verse 20, it says this in the Passion Translation. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. So the father raced out to meet him. I liked how it phrased that. If you look at the older brother, Then Jesus told a story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness. If you look at Luke 18, 9 through 14, when I think about the older brother, I thought about this. Over in Luke 18, 9 through 14, then Jesus told a story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I'm not like the other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Amen. Listen, I'm so grateful that Jesus paid a price to redeem us. And I don't identify myself as a sinner any longer, but I do find that I need to stay in the place of humility and submitted to the Father, submitted to Jesus and the work he wants to do inside of me. Because after being in the church for so many years, I grew up as a young man in church, and I certainly had my seasons where mom and dad, who knows, they prayed a lot. Dad endeavored, maybe mom prayed for dad that he wouldn't break me, hurt me, do different things. I pushed all the buttons, and so it was by no means a perfect childhood, but God kept me from a lot. Thank God, drugs and alcohol and different things, because mom and dad took the path that they did, and God was gracious. I didn't ever experiment with those things, and I'm grateful, but by no means had a perfect life, by no means have done everything right. Thank God for his grace and for his mercy. After being in the church for many, many years, going through university and going through Bible school, if we're not careful, we can all move into the role of that older brother, and we can be the fault finders, and we can be the criticizers of those that have fallen, and those that we see, well, you should be doing in this, and you should be doing that. Well, we know that because we've been around the block probably 10 or 12 or 15 more times than they have. But once again, we all have to come back to that place of humility and surrender before Jesus, before our Father. And as we do, we lift up our brothers, we lift up our sisters, we continue to grow in the grace and the mercy and the knowledge of the goodness of God ourselves, and we become more like Jesus, because Jesus never was condescending. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, he came to save the world, amen? And so if that's the case, well, then when folks come to Church on the Move or to wherever it is that we're in Tulsa, we're to be lifting, we're to be loving, we're not to be condescending, not to be fault-finding, not to take the perspective of the older brother. However, I don't know about you, but I've had my occasions where I've tried to sit in that seat of judgment. I don't know about you, I've got a full-time job judging myself. I don't need to worry about somebody on the first row or the back row or any row or out in the lobby. I got a full-time job taking care of myself and submitting myself to God. And so in James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." When we humble ourselves, God's able to honor us. When we exalt ourselves, or we decide we're sitting on the front row, sometimes we're going to find ourselves being escorted from the front row to the second row, the third row, or whichever direction. It's better to let him exalt us and lift us up and promote us than for us to feel like we need to promote ourselves. Amen? And so if we just stay humble, we just stay loving Jesus and loving people, we're going to find that whatever we put our hands to is going to be successful, that God's going to be pleased, that we're going to honor him. And as we honor him, the Bible says he'll honor us. Amen? So I want to encourage you and myself with that point too this morning. God paid an uncommon price to redeem us. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 in the Passion Translation. It says this, "But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into this very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into his glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ." Amen. That is a mouthful, but the the simple point that I want to make is God paid a very uncommon price. His love is uncommon for us. Even while we were dead in our sins, even while we were missing it, God loved us. He gave Jesus for us. And so for all of us older brothers in here and sisters that have been in the church for a long time, we need to be reminded that no matter where you're at, if you feel like you're not where you should be in the station of life, listen, don't give up. Don't quit. If you don't quit, you're going to win. If we don't quit, we're going to win. God will bring to completion the good work He's begun in us. As long as we keep running back to services here at Church on the Move, and you're hanging with your small group, and we're enjoying the strength of community in getting to know one another, and being transparent with one another, being honest, because there's no sense in putting on a mask. You know, the Bible says that God's the God of light. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so it's in light and it's in truth that we're able to grow. And so that's why it's so important. And we were excited listening to Pastors Marvin and Patty share about the small groups here at Church on the Move and the opportunity to do life, be it bowling or riding motorcycles or maybe hitting restaurants, whatever, just enjoying something outside of this room right here, which this room is fantastic. It's wonderful. But when we're breaking bread, when we're eating dinner and we're able to talk about our kids, we're able to talk about, hey, what's going on at work. As men, we're able to talk about, our marriages and how we're handling things with our kids growing up. I've got a 18-year-old that just graduated high school. I've got a little girl that's going to be a junior in high school next year. And it is beneficial for Julie and I to be able to hang with other parents who have been, maybe they're ahead of us, maybe some are behind us, maybe some are in the same season, just to testify about, hey, this was something that was great. This feels like it was a success. And then to share challenges and to get wisdom from those that are ahead of us, those that have maybe been through and successfully done things. But listen, what a great place as a community of believers to be able to hang together in all kinds of different settings and just to share the wins of life. But you know what? We don't always win. Sometimes we lose. I don't know about you. I've had some losses here and there, but we need safe places and safe people to share some of those things. So once again, we can help each other. We can encourage each other and build each other up. Amen? Because God loves us. He's rich in compassion and mercy. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. They endure forever. He's a good God. He loves us. He's for us always. And just like that Father, if we need to come to our senses and we need to leave some things behind, we need to drop some things, He's not going to come and chase us and try to convince us to do what's right, but He will send laborers. He will put us in the right place. If you're coming to church, you're going to get the truth ministered to you. And by the Spirit of God, He's going to be knocking and saying, hey, why don't you let that go? Why don't you open that closet up right there? And as soon as we do our part, just like the story of the prodigal son, the Father's going to run to us. And He's going to put His arms around us, and He's going to embrace us, and He's going to bring us back into His house, into His family, where we can get the help that we need. The Bible says this, and it's more so, I think it's said in the masculine tense in the Bible, and probably more so because us men probably be more prone to it, but I think the ladies probably as well too. The Bible says, a man who isolates himself rages against all wise knowledge. And what the devil would like to do, if you ever watch the Animal Channel and, you know, those packs of animals, whenever the pack can, or one of the little ones or a sick animal gets separated from the rest of the herd, that's when they become the prey. Have you guys ever seen any of those? If you YouTube, you can watch some fascinating ones out there. But it's also cool when they are close enough to the herd, even if they're little, even if they're hurting, if they stay close enough to the family, to the herd, all the others rally around to chase off the lions or the whatever kind of predators chasing them. But what the devil longs to do in the lives of believers, he wants to isolate us. If we screw up, if we miss it, well, listen, don't tell Pastors Marvin and Patty, and don't say anything to your small group. Just keep it over here in the dark. Keep the lights out. Nobody will ever know. That's a lie. That is a lie. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. And in darkness and in isolation, we're giving him liberty to do that. And so it's important that we open up, that we turn all the lights on, that we allow the Spirit of truth to work in us and to show us areas that we need help in, and then to have a community and pastors like Pastors Marvin and Patty just to be real with and say, listen, we can confess our sins one to another, and we can be healed. We can be delivered. But sometimes we just got to turn the lights on. And just like that, when we turn that light on, then the Father comes running back. He sprints back and embraces us with tender kisses. He takes us back. Amen. And sometimes He uses believers. In fact, that's what He uses most of the time. He uses us to help our brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. So my third point is this. God's love, His uncommon love for us, empowers and energizes us to live an uncommonly good life. Let's look at Ephesians 3, 17 through 18, and we may go just beyond. It says this, then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. You know, when we understand the love that God has for us, it's that love that becomes the very source and the root of our life. If we lose sight of how much He loves us and how much He's for us, then once again, we can isolate ourselves. But let's read on. Once we know that, when we the place of His love become the very source and root of our life, it says, then you and I will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Amen. It's not an exclusive. This is not a club. The love of God includes all. The love of God reaches all. The love of God reaches to the farthest places, to the darkest places, to the loneliest, to the most broken, and so should we. Amen. His love is inclusive. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. We can't even comprehend. This extravagant love pours into you and I until we're filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. So never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. But it's His uncommon love and a constant stirring and revelation in us of how much He loves us. When we know that, it makes us want to unplug from that computer. It makes us want to flip the channel when we go by and we're tempted to stay and look a little bit longer. It makes us want to love our wives and our children just like He did. It's the love of God that works in us. It's the love of God for us that transforms us. It's the energizer. It's the power that enables us to do that. But if we try to turn it to a performance, we don't please God with our works. Amen. You know, it's a submission and a surrender, and then it's something that He does on the inside of us, and then He gets the glory, He gets the honor, and it's not a work, it's a transformation. It's something that He does. And so the Bible says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And so when we do things the way He wants us to do it, hey, you know, it's not to say that that we're not going to have challenges. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. In the Gospels, we see the parable about the man who built his house on the sand, the man that built his house on the rock. The storms of life are going to come. The lightning's going to strike. The thunder's going to roll. The winds are going to blow. But if our foundation is in Christ, if it's on the rock, we're going to make it through that storm. Our house will still be standing. There might be some things we have to fix and adjust here or there, but our foundation is sure. Amen. But if we try to build on a sandy foundation, there's no foundation there. God will help us rebuild, but listen, let's just get founded on the rock. Amen? And so just quick review this morning of our points. God loves us with an uncommon love. He loves us so much. He paid an uncommon price to redeem us. He gave His only Son, Jesus, to die in our place. While we were still dead in our sins, He gave His Son so that we could choose to believe the sacrifice that was made and to come to Him. I don't know about you. I love my girls. I'm grateful for God who set the example of sacrificing His for us. He paid an uncommon price. And then number three, it's God's love that empowers us and energizes us to live an uncommonly good life. So let's just, at this point, I want to have you bow your heads. Let's just go before the Father. I want to pray, and we'll just see what he has for us right now. Father, in Jesus' name.